The information discussed on this show is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general informational purposes only.
It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guy's Guy Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guy's Guy Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about conscious and powerful aging with special guest David Emerson Frost. You know, folks, you ask yourself the question at a certain point in life, is aging inevitable or is decline optional? Today, I'm going to sit down with fitness trainer and author David Emerson Frost. He's written two books, Kaboomer, about obviously baby boomers staying strong, and also Strong to Save, his fitness book about Gen X. And we're going to break down the truth about longevity, strength, and what it really takes to stay powerful as we age. We're going to talk about why strength beats cardio after age 40, the mindset that separates thriving from declining, and how men and guys can reclaim their edge without losing their soul. Folks, this one hits hard and might just change how you think about getting older. My special guest today on Guys Guys Radio, David Emerson Frost. He's an amazing guy, fitness trainer, rowing coach and champion, and he's got a lot of insights to share with us on today's program.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Radio is the interview portion of our show. And you know, Guys Radio is really, it's your home for everything from relationships to personal growth and purpose. And today we're going to talk about something that every man and woman on this planet is dealing with. And we've talked to about this subject before on the show, but we're going to talk about, once again, aging, because I think it's just so important now. I'm an aging boomer, as is my guest, who I'm going to introduce. But what if aging didn't have to mean decline? I mean, everybody who hits 70 always hears the word old, and we've been given certain roles to play, and it doesn't have to be that way. And I've always said that, and I'm so glad my guest today feels the same way. So what if getting older actually meant getting stronger, physically, mentally, even spiritually? Well, today our guest is David Emerson Frost. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is an NFPT certified master fitness trainer, a rowing coach, a champion competitor, and an award-winning adjunct professor. After he completely decorated careers in U.S. Navy and business world, he found Well Past 40 LLC to promote health span and lifespan for people in middle age and beyond. And he's a U.S. Navy veteran. And he's got two books we're going to talk about today. One is called Kaboomer, Thriving and Striving into Your 90s. And also Strong to Save, the new one, which is Your Gen X Imperative to Die Harder and Later. So welcome to Guys Radio, David Emerson Frost.
Robert, what a pleasure. And thank you for sharing. I think those subtitles are provocative. They were meant to be. And if you were to ask me, Robert, what would I define a guy's guy? It would be a guy that wants to die harder and later.
Yeah.
To be late to your own funeral, if you can.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to die harder, but I want to die later. So anyhow, welcome to the show. You know, what was it that inspired your focus on longevity and redefining age through strength? I ask you that because in my case, I saw the labels that have been put on us throughout our lives. You're a kid, you're the student, you're the early young worker, you're the father, you're the husband. And each decade, we get a different role. And then they start to phase you out corporately. And then you're determined that you're old. And it doesn't have to be that way, because when I turned 70 last year, I felt as good, if not better, than I did when I was 50. I've run three marathons, I don't run marathons anymore, but I feel fantastic. My energy level's up. And I'm so pleased to find a kindred spirit in you, David. So what inspired you to go along this path also?
Thank you. I like many people, had life happen, Robert. In 2001, September of 2001, I severely herniated a disc in my lower back. And I thought I was a pretty tough guy as a competitor. And I had religious pain that I tried to endure, do all sorts of, everything from steroid shots to aggressive therapy. I ultimately went the invasive route to have my spine fused, and I'm glad I did, because that's what got me into physical training and renewing my competitive lifestyle and trying to inspire others. So it was my defining moment, what I call my Phoenix moment, was a personal injury and my own lessons learned, Robert, I thought I might be able to share with others because life does happen, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So let's start with your first book, Kaboomer, Thriving and Striving Into Your 90s. I love that, Into Your 90s. What does the title mean and who is this book really for? Who are you talking to here? Boomers?
Yes. So my first book, Generational, second one was as well, but Kaboomer was my attempt to share looking at the man in the mirror and looking at the woman in the mirror. I think it's very important because I know you have many women listeners.
Yes.
That things like longevity, health span, and so on, strength span, are equally as important for ladies as they are for guys. So that's why the book covers have men and women on them. But the title is Kaboomer. And where did Kaboomer come from? Well, it came from a knock-knock joke that I came up with. Knock-knock, who's there? A baby boomer and a kaboomer. Baby and a boomer and a kaboomer who? A baby boomer that takes two pills at a time and a kaboomer that takes two steps at a time. So in my own journey that I shared from my kind of ashes of injury and post-hab and so on, I realized that mobility, attitude, and confidence were ways to get past life's hurdles and maybe make the world a little bit better place. My own operating system is one built on trust. And you mentioned my service background. I do like to serve others. So I thought that Kaboomer would inspire people to be skeptical when they go to the doctor and he or she says, take this. And my question is, what happened before modern medicine said, take this? Well, we did natural things. I know your background is you found many ways to do things naturally, organically, spiritually, to offset the need for polypharmacy. So polypharmacy and injury were drivers for Kaboomer. And again, it's the inspiration to move and to be positive instead of resorting to pills and things that don't serve us well. So that was the inspiration.
Okay, well, thank you. Sometimes we need to take, there is a positive part of allopathic medicine. Like I had pneumonia and I took some pills and I got better in 3 days, just like my physician told me. And I got operated on for kidney growths, and that saved my life. And I had an emergency appendectomy, and I had to take, believe it or not, Cipro afterwards. So sometimes you need, there has to be, in my opinion, and I probably yours also, there needs to be a balance. We don't always need to go to the medicine cabinet first. I think if we start by taking care of ourselves, we'll be in a better position to make the right choices when that happens. Because when we go to the doctor, it's like when you bring your car to the mechanic, they find stuff and they try to fix it, but they don't really tell you much about maintaining your vehicle. And in this case, our vehicle is our physical body. So when it comes to aging, David, what do you think are the biggest myths that people still believe that aren't necessarily true, including working on yourself and looking for the natural solutions first?
Boy, we have inherited things, haven't we, since our parents. Our dads probably had one job and a gold watch. Now, our life has certainly changed. So much has changed, and hopefully for the better. But what is aging? Well, we're born with a disease called aging, aren't we?
Sure.
And people people dread aging as if it's something that is to be fended off and not proactively addressed. And I think that is great. Yet now we find things like wellness maxing. You hear all these compound words like wellness maxing. So people are going to do sauna, they're going to do LED, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And what, guess what? They forget the basics. They forget the simple yet hard things of living well. And so it's frantic. It's good for Madison Avenue. I know that was in your background. It's good for marketing, yet it's not good for us to be scattered with all these sexy draws to make us better. What we really need is to sweat, to breathe, to eat well, and just be comfortable about moving and moving heavy things. I actually, well, I talked about a word like wellness or max wellness, but I invented a word too called glothic. I think you may remember Gilligan's Island, the comedy show that had a good
Sure.
run on black and white TV. Well, supposedly that was about seven original sins. But the two original sins that I talk about in both of my books, in a third book coming up, are gluttony and sloth. And I agree, I'm a kindred kaboomer like you. I say, let's go as far as we can until the crisis happens, until the appendix says, whoa, no mas. Or, our system is amazingly good. Well, I call it a sick care system. I apologize to any medical people and your listeners that think that's not just. We're very, very good when we have a problem to be dealt with in emergency department or in things that have become cancer, for instance. One of my kryptonites, if I may do a quick digression, I just had another Mohs surgery. I am Northern European background, and I visit the dermatologist too much. And yet, the dermatologist is probably keeping me alive because I've had melanoma a couple times and you've had incidents. So for cases like that, absolutely, positively, our system is good at treating things. Yet, why are we dying? Why do American males only live an average? Now, this is 150 some million American males, but why are we living to 77? Well, heart disease. Suicide, opioids. Luckily, opioids, COVID-19, and suicides are dropping. Cancer, and the mega trends are cancer seems to be creeping, particularly at younger ages. But what isn't changing? Heart disease. We're not smoking, we're not eating as much red meat, and yet we're still dying prematurely from heart disease. So sorry to take so long to circle back to what do I think about aging? The myth is that we're in the hands of modern medicine. No, we should be self-focused, proactively leaning toward doing things to gain up to 7 to 12 extra vital years in our health span. And I believe doing the things that you're doing, I say one marathon is wonderful. Everyone should experience 42 kilometers. Everyone should do it once, no matter how fast or how slow. But I wouldn't do it every day. Why? Inflammation is the number one problem that we have, and related to that is oxidation. But whether you're talking about diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, metabolic syndrome, we have a problem that our lifestyles, including our diet, are inflaming us. And the myth is that medicine is going to take care of something that we should be taking care of ourselves. So I think that's myth number one. Myth number two, well, it's inevitable that you're going to end up as a shriveled old man like Artie Johnson on the old show Laugh-In. He fell off the bicycle and all that. Doesn't have to be. We know that our bodies, and I call it the SED principle, specific adaptations to impose demands. So, as I said, as I know you do, Robert, you impose gentle demands, not too much, not too little, on your body by moving, by breathing, by eating to live, not, I'm sorry, eat, yeah, eating to live, not living to eat as a glutton. So, glothic behavior is sending us to a grave too early. And the myth is it has to happen that way. And the answer is no, we're smart enough. Technology, medicine, and our newfound knowledge in the human body is that at 70, you're just getting started. Yes, you're in your third act. I have a forebear named Ralph Waldo Emerson, pretty good orator, liked to row like I did, a Harvard guy, not a Villanova guy, but a Harvard guy. And he called it the felicities of age. We're at a stage with the benefit of hindsight and experience that we can do things smarter. But boy, wouldn't I like to be a kindergarten kid again with what I know now? And wouldn't I like to be 40 something in middle age with all the stresses of middle age with what I know now? So that's like while you share things and I try to share things.
My special guest on today's Guys Guys Radio is the amazing writer and fitness coach and certified master trainer, David Emerson Frost. And here's the two books again, Kaboomer and Strong to Save. So you have an emphasis in your work about stamina, staminity, you actually call it in health and a healthy aging. And you also get into a seven element action plan, which is seven S's: strength, stamina, stretching, sustenance, sleep, stress. But let's start a little bit with a talk about stamina. My point, where I'm coming from is, David, and forgive me, is that for some of the people, we're a little bit over 70, and we have the capacity to still go out there and do a lot of the things we did before. I don't run marathons anymore. I have a very close friend. He's my age. He still runs marathons. Good for him. I guess what I'm getting at is, what do you say to people who, they can't do exactly what you did before, but you do have that physically, you may not be as strong and you may not have as much stamina, but you have that kind of ring savvy. You have that experience that can help you train smarter. Talk to us about the importance of that. So our listeners out there who are of the boomer age aren't thinking, well, I'm not strong like these guys. I can't do that. I had a knee replacement or a hip replacement.
Yeah, we're all damaged goods, and I know you mentioned the noun tune-up earlier. But if we're working on little tune-ups all the time, we're in better shape if the big tune-up happens from injury or a condition like cancer. But why did people with strong grips not die from COVID? Because they had strong grips. Hey, Dave, what is a strong grip? It means you're working on it to get stronger. So we're talking about progress, not perfection. But with stamina, so you mentioned the seven S's, and thank you for that, Robert. The foundation of our physical bank is stamina, meaning our cardiorespiratory, our cardiovascular system. And yes, I cannot run a marathon under 3 hours like I used to today, nor do I want to. I've done my marathons. So we adapt our dulce vita. I call it that, and of course, I made up an acronym, VITA, which means volume, intensity, tempo, and adaptation. So we're going to watch our volume because training too hard for too long is inflammatory. We're going to watch our intensity because our joints and our muscles may be more prone to injury. How many pickleball player friends of yours are injured? How many golfers are injured, right? They go out as weekend warriors because, as you shared, they're not what they used to be. God bless Toby Keith. I miss him because his great song, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. As we adapt, we can do impressive things. I, with some of my crazy buddies, are going to hopefully set a world record for a continuous 24-hour row this weekend.
Amazing.
Well, we'll find out. But the answer is it's doable, but we're not doing it for to the point a red zone of killing ourselves. We're doing it to have fun, to be social, to do something together. Now, in this case, it could have been mixed, and if we did, we opened it to women as well as guys, but the guys were the crazy ones, the guys
Of
that
course.
are going to do something epic. And I know this is PG, but this is the bottle that we're going to open at the
I
end of
love it.
it.
I love it. I love it.
So not that we should talk about drinking or whatever, we're going to open the bottle to celebrate epic stuff. So the fact is stamina. So we're going to go slower. In fact, we shouldn't do much more than conversational, what we call zone two. This is if you can maintain an effort like a hawk, a walk, I'm sorry, walk, rucking, bicycling, or those types of things, and you maintain it for a long period of time. That's in our DNA. That's how we hunted down the gazelle. The gazelle on the pampas was faster than us. We just outlasted them. So here we are at the age of 70. The Social Security Administration, Robert, says we're going to be dead in 10 years. Well, Well, I beg to differ because we're going to outlast them, right? We're going to outthink them, outlast them, and outplay them. But stamina is the foundation. And how do you do it? There's a fancy term called metabolic hours that you should do each week. Not too much, not too high intensity. That's bad for you. It's inflammatory. And yet you do want to go to sweat. The important thing about stamina, the magic number right now is 45 minutes of gentle activity to generate glistening for the ladies or sweat for the guys. With that, some amazing things happen to our hormonal systems. The rebuild, repair, restore, the parasympathetic nerves that get you excited about feed and restore instead of fight or flight. Isn't that a problem with American life is we're frenetic and it's fight or flight all the time, right? You got a deadline, there's a war going on, la, la, la. But if we breathe, if we focus on the types of things that you're doing so very well, hopefully we can realize that the sun's going to come up tomorrow and tomorrow's going to be a good day, and I'm going to sweat gently for at least 45 minutes, 6 days a week.
All right. You do rowing, and I think that's like one of the most perfect sports and activities because you're just using muscle, you're breathing, it's great for stamina. It's just overall, it's just a wonderful activity. My question is, David, what's your position on like free weights? I used to
Oh.
lift weights all the time and I loved it. And now I'm not mo I don't really want to go push iron. I do the Dan Millman Peaceful Warrior workout every day. I play pickleball. I swim. I'm in a senior softball league, which is a lot tougher than you may think it is. These guys are hardcore. And I do a lot of push-ups. I have been doing them since I was 12 years old, and a lot of stretching. And that seems to feel, I use my body weight, but I'm not going to free weights. What's your, and that's just me. There's a lot of guys my our age who are out there pumping iron and they look great. And they, what's your position on free weights?
Yeah, so you brought up a good point. The GOAT, right? Tom Brady, who is not our age, and yet he's known as the greatest of all time as a quarterback in that marquee sport of football. He did not use either closed or open circuit weights. He used resistance bands for what he did for his particular quickness and his, and of course, the muscle between his ears is really important, like it is for you and me and all our boomer and kaboomer friends. But my feeling is, to back up a little, moving heavy stuff is good medicine. Now, you're a pretty big guy. You're not a, you know, you're not a spring chicken, but you're a fit spring chicken. If you do a pull-up, that's resisted effort. That's moving your joints, although you could also get benefit from not moving an isometric exercise. But body weight, it's always with us, right? So prisoners can get pretty buff and pretty fit body weight. So I say heavy stuff in your activities of daily life. And yet, if it's working for you to do bands and to do sports and things, we want to avoid a dreaded term called sarcopenia. That's the loss of flesh, which can be as much as 1% per year after the age of 30. How do we avoid that? We don't avoid it, but we can change the trajectory. The myth is that you're going to be old and shriveled by age 70, and that is false because we respond to appropriate imposed demands as such as you do. Some people do close circuit. I always say that if you want to, with the sun coming out in San Diego, sun's out, guns out. Yeah, you can make your delts and your biceps look really good by doing machines at the big box gym or at home. But I say with free weights, you tend to move more joints. And that really is activities of daily life. So, like you move many joints in pickleball, you're moving in all three body planes. That's exciting. It's social. And it's not fixed like what the big box gyms get rich on, right? Those machines, either sound clanking or are just using their isolated exercises. With free weights, you tend to do whole body or complex exercises, which are much better for you. A battle rope or a slam ball is every bit as good as we get older as it is trying to press a heavy stack of a bench press. So the answer is, as far as metal, hey, where's most metal come from? China. What do we have problems with right now? Tariffs. So it costs more to get heavy metal anyway. But you can figure out all kinds of clever things to use resistance bands or body weight. So I know that's a mixed answer. The answer is, motion, resisted motion, and it doesn't have to be rogue, very expensive weight sets. It can be either volume, more push-ups. You could do pike position push-ups. You could do variations of a push-up that work the muscles a little bit differently, but still use multiple joints. So complex actions such as you do and you advocate, I say yes, might include free weights. I stay away from fixed machines, number one. And number two, the most important resistance exercise is one you can stick with, right?
Got it.
So you sticking with it, it's working for you. And that's a key, I think, to your listeners and viewers is find something, move stuff. If it's body weight, great. If it's moving heavier stuff, great. Don't get injured, but do it often. Now, for us, I think body weight you can do almost every day, but if you were lifting weights,
You got to take days off.
I get pretty sore, so I say just twice a week.
Got it.
Under 50, you can probably do it 3 times a week, but for us, get sore, rebuild, restore, get your protein, get your sleep, get your hydration, back at it. So to avoid sarcopenia, however you do it with body weight, lots of repetitions, changing, using geometry or trigonometry to help you with body weight exercises, just do it. Yeah, the Nike phrase, sorry, just do
Okay.
it.
David Emerson Frost, two books, Kaboomer and the GX book, Strong to Save, Your Gen X Imperative to Die Harder and Later. One of the things you talk about is that's important, which I completely agree with, is the importance of stability. Talk to us about that, and what are some of the things people can do to improve that? Because once you lose your stability and be able your ability to stand on one foot or whatever, that's a slippery slope that you start getting on, and you really want to be able to have that balance.
Oh, absolutely. And the awful after for too many of our peers, Robert, is one of out of every three of us falls each year. And I have not heard anyone say there's something good that happens from going to the pit, the emergency department for a bruise, a break. Nothing good happens. If a hip is broken, which can be more of an issue for the ladies with osteopenia, which is another reason to do resistance exercise, by the way, because your bone matrix gets strengthened with resistance exercise. But stability, it's a fact. This is a true fact, and I can get the sources, but we tend to trip at our age as much as kids do. We stub our toe, a little stumble, but do kids fall? Rarely. Do older people fall? Yes. Why? Because we don't practice being kid-like. If we do things with our eyes closed, if we rub our belly and pat our head like we used to watch on Romper Room, we're trying to retrain our
That's right.
spatial awareness. A big word, and I don't want to spring too many big words, but proprioception is spatial awareness. So you mentioned standing on one leg, standing on a yoga pad. Doing things that you haven't done for a while, probably, unless you're a yogi or a Pilates instructor. These are things that will help you retrain your neuromuscular system to function in space, even with an eye closed, even on one leg, even doing one of the best exercises, body weight or resistance, just a single leg deadlift. Can you slowly lean over and raise your body without falling? And if you can, you're well on your way to being able to recover from a fall. And oh, by the way, by doing resistance exercise, if you did happen to fall, you've got muscle to cushion your joints. So hopefully you have a muscle bruise and not a broken limb. So stability is one of those seven S's in my seven S framework, which is so important for everyone. But as we age, nothing good happens when you've got plaster on your leg. On those kinds of things. So, how much time of an investment? There is no better investment in your time than practicing stability exercises. Maybe not in the shower, maybe not in the bathtub, because that's the most dangerous room in the house, right? But out of doors, barefoot. Barefoot is a good way to work towards stability. The most important digit in stability is the great toe. If your toes are nimble, oftentimes folks tend to have toes that look like that with I'm showing with my hand. They bend and they curl and they're not flexible. Guess what happens? Your gait is impacted. So I know this is a long answer, but there are two very formal and credible tests that everybody should be aware of. One is called the Berg Balance Scale. It's a scoring, you can do it yourself. And the other is the Functional Gait Assessment. And these are two extraordinarily powerful things to check every once in a while. Can you walk and turn around quickly without stumbling? Can you step over obstacles? Can you go upstairs sideways or backwards safely? Those kinds of things. But walking in a straight line with a toe to heel, and doing it with your eyes closed. But if you have 30 seconds, just stand on one leg with your eyes closed and see how you do. That's how long it takes, 30 seconds a day to improve your spatial awareness to avoid, hopefully avoid falls and keep your muscle mass up. So if you did happen to trip and fall, you wouldn't break something.
Amazing, amazing. David, another thing that came up often is that you talk about the heart disease and that type of issue that a lot of seniors have, stress. Lots of stress, lots of anger for older people, particularly older guys, and even some loneliness. What is your perspective on, you mentioned Qigong in the book, but you don't mention meditation or any of those type of practices. What is your perspective on how to kind of de-stress? Because obviously, before we get out there and start really challenging ourselves physically and our stamina, if you will, we need to make sure that we're kind of got some of that anger out of us.
We can't perform our best if we're stressed, can we? You have to be literally in the zone. We have to be chill. We have to breathe. So, sleep, breath, and just being what I call mind-body awareness. There's spirituality, there's the aspect of being in tune with yourself so that you can perform better. But I am totally on board with what you just shared, Robert, is that if you're stressed, you can't perform, number one. And if you're stressed, that I word, inflammation, or what some people are calling inflammaging, is killing us slowly, drip, 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 with leading to hypertension, leading to adult diabetes, leading to metabolic syndrome. It is now inflammation. We want it from exercise. We don't want it from chronic stress of the workplace, of the family life, or the world events. We just want to learn how to breathe, to let things go. I did mention the Disney song "Let It Go" in the book because, so hey, can I take 1 minute? 1 minute and do a box breathing technique that Navy SEALs use and just feel my heart rate lower and my blood if
Sure,
I had a cuff
share.
on when
Go
I'm
ahead.
doing that.
Share that with us, David.
The 4x4, there are many other breathing techniques, and in fact one of the best books that I've ever read, not an easy read, but it's James Nestor's Breath. But the 4x4, Navy SEALs, inhale 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, slowly exhale through the pursed lips. So inhale through the nose, exhale through the pursed lips, and then do nothing for the last part of that box. Do it 4 times. It's actually 64 seconds, not 60. But if you, Aaron Rodgers, the very legendary former New York Jets quarterback, he did that for 2 minutes, and he was pretty calm in game conditions, wasn't he? Now, mentally, who know, but Aaron Rodgers was a big believer in the power of breathing to de-stress and to get in the zone. So do if I feel I just had a PayPal fintech issue. Somebody somehow figured out how to get into my PayPal account and do fraudulent charges. Did my blood pressure go up? Oh yeah. Did my heart rate go up? Oh yeah. What did I have to remind myself to do? Take a minute, get away from it, but 64 seconds, I think people would find what a wonderful return on investment that is to de-stress and to work against the development of chronic stress, which kills. It really kills.
I love it. Diet and supplements, important at our age, of course, important at any age, but now that we're here, we made it. What do we need to do to keep ourselves going and growing, if you will, and thriving? What and I find for myself, David, that I don't eat as much. I'm finding that my body is not craving food for the sake of food anymore. Sometimes I want certain flavors, but my body isn't saying I need more fuel unless I'm doing activities that require more fuel. What's your thoughts on that, and how do you manage that? And you're rowing, so you got to be loading, right?
So for instance, thank you for asking. So for this kind of defining crucible event this weekend, I have to ingest another 300 calories an hour to sustain for my 12 hours in the 24. That's a lot of extra calories. But you know, when you and I were running marathons slightly younger, and the gentleman who still does, that's a terrible way to lose 1 pound of body fat. It's a terrible way to lose 1 pound, not water weight, but fat. So as we get older, we tend our metabolism drops, or our natural need to eat extra calories, both macros and micros, lessens a little, but we have to be careful, don't we? What drives our metabolism? Muscle. If we lose our muscle, we eat less because we don't need to fuel the muscle, but we don't build our metabolism. So it can be a vicious circle. And yet, if your body fat is low, and if you can perform your activities of daily life better than your peers, you've won. High five, you've won. Okay. So, yeah, as we get older, we tend, well, we may, you know, our waist to hip ratio may change. And yet, the key is the metabolism is lowering because our heart rate, you know, that kind of thing. And we don't train quite as hard, but we can make it up by enjoying what we do. And again, we're looking not to be an Olympic champion in LA 2028, to go into space like those four heroes that just landed safely last week on Artemis 2. By the way, the only way that you can increase your longevity is to increase the length of your telomeres at the cellular level or go into space. But bad things happen when you go into space.
For the benefit of our audience, what are telomeres and why are they important?
Oh, sorry. Telomeres, in layman's terms for me, are the little caps of your shoelaces at the end of the DNA strands. And the longer they are, the less they have to, in the DNA process, split. So there's a lot of train of thought, which I believe in at the cellular level, is that by exercise or going into space, you lengthen the telomeres, and at the cellular level, your aging has slowed down. So it's important to remember, you and I have calendar years, which we're proud of, and hopefully we'll have many more. But really, what it is fitness years and having longer telomeres because of what you do, either going into space or exercising, can help you get some of those 7 to 12 extra years. So it's the cap on your DNA shoelace.
Got it. Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, the amazing one, David Emerson Frost, Kaboomer and Strong to Save. Another area that you mentioned is sleep. And I find that I'm because I'm in California now. When I was in New York, I stayed up late, I got up late, and now I go to bed early and I get up early. And but I try to find that window to get a solid 8 hours every night, and when I do, I feel a lot better. What's your perspective on sleep as we age and the importance of it? And is there any techniques that you want to share?
Oh my gosh, thank you. That's a very powerful and loaded thing to talk about. I wish that some leaders who will go unnamed would sleep more and
I know what you mean.
not be tweeting at 2 in the morning, right? There is nothing more restorative. There is nothing more anti-inflammatory. There is nothing more important than restorative sleep. In fact, in Kaboomer, I called it mimicking Morpheus. And Morpheus is from the same word as morphine, by the way. So with restorative sleep, your brain and your body are generating happy hormones, serotonin, dopamine. And then when you wake up in the morning and you give your better half a hug, then the oxytocin has suppressed cortisol. So the happy hormones are rising, the bad hormone cortisol is dropping, and that is related to sleep. There's hundreds and hundreds of very powerful biochemical reactions that happen when we let our minds sleep. And oh, by the way, because our minds are unique, they don't have a lymph system. They have their own drainage system. But if you don't sleep, the toxins or the byproducts of brain work are building up. So without sleep, you're not functioning as well. And for you, it's 8 hours. For me, I say if I a chronotype is a fancy word for whether you're a morning lark or a night hawk or a third bird, whatever it is, if you're getting up without an alarm and you get up feeling rested, not brain fog, that's probably the right amount of sleep for you to restore your functions. I also talk about X factors in relation to sleep and other things. I have a device on my ring finger.
Is that a Quora ring?
It's an Oura ring, and I've worn it for 4 years. And this thing, for the ladies that are premenopausal, it helps them plan their month based on monthly cycles. But this ring told me that I had shingles before I had shingles. This ring told me, based on the biometrics, heart rate, respiration, pulse rate, heart rate variability. I was in Ireland with my wife on a wonderful trip, and it said, "Hey, dude, something's wrong." The feedback every day was, for 2 days, was, "Something's wrong with your body." Guess what? COVID. COVID-19. Now, Ireland is a great place anyway, but it's a great place to have COVID. But it's also good to know, because if you know it early, then you can take a reaction, you can respond to it better than, waiting for the cytokine storm. But back to sleep. If I could talk about fitness devices, which is part of this wellness maxing that we hear about. Yes, I have a fitness watch. Yes, I have a ring, but it can't do the work for me, and it can't sleep for me. But you know the problem with many of these watches? They're charging at night.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're not getting biofeedback the next morning that says how good your sleep was. And that's why a lot of people are looking at either longer batteries for a watch or rings that you keep on at night. So for me, it tends to be 6 hours and 42 minutes. Over these 4 years, I'm semi-retired and failing retirement, but I don't need an alarm. I get up when I get up. We are creatures of habit, like you are, and for you, it's working. When you get up and walk on the beach and you do your peaceful warrior every day, that's a routine and habit. Successful habits are so important, aren't they? But one of the most powerful habits is sleep. If you pull an all-nighter like we used to do in college at Villanova or the Naval Academy or other places, Notre Dame or whatever, if you pull an all-nighter, that's the same as being legally drunk. That's what it does to your brain and your body. It's not healthy. So, golly, thank you for asking that loaded question. I hope I gave some responses that share sleep, restorative sleep, and mimicking Morpheus is a wonderful way to spend a quarter or a third of your adult life.
Good answer. David, you touch on some masculine like sexuality capabilities as we age. And every guy out there has, looked in the mirror and or looked into the distance and realized that sometimes it's not exactly the way it used to be, but it can be really good. What are some of your tips based on your books in terms of how men can kind of keep themselves in a good place for their sexual experiences?
The great question, and I did not invent the term sexercise. Apparently, a New York gym owner did. I forget the gentleman's name, but it's in Strong to Save. But this gentleman found that some core exercises and some strength exercises, and doing moves like the anaconda, that sounds rather provocative, but doing those things did help you exercise when the lights are dim. If you will, horizontal exercises or wrapping exercises. But not to, with maybe tongue in cheek, but sexercise is part of why we were on the planet, right? We were on the planet to procreate. And then after you procreate and become a grandparent, your life is done, right? That's the old thinking. But can you procreate for longer? Well, Picasso did. So what leads to that? Well, physiology. Our pelvic floors, with gravity and age, tend to not be tuned up, don't they? For the guys, the pelvic floor could be incontinence. It could be waking up too many times to interrupt your sleep, or it could be perhaps some of the things you hear about with ED dysfunctions. But some of that is, it's a lot of it is related to blood flow. So how do we stimulate blood flow? Well, let's exercise. And let's think about core exercises that go to the erogenous zones. And you could talk about push-ups. You're a push-up guy. I do push-ups. Guess what they do? They work your core and they stimulate blood flow. They're natural herbs. To go back from Western techniques with pills and things like that, let's examine what people have done for centuries. They've taken fenugreek. They've taken natural things that have helped blood flow. And it's just, to take a deep breath. And people our age, kaboomers, should, if we have the time, research a little to find out, are there natural and affordable techniques instead of pills and, blah, blah,
Got it.
blah.
Perfect. David, this has been powerful stuff. You're not just talking about living longer, you're talking about living stronger with purpose and intention. So, guys, if you're listening and thinking it's too late to step it up, David's message is clear, it's not. David Emerson Frost, everybody. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Robert, so much. Wonderful.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, a fascinating conversation with my special guest today, David Emerson Frost, a fellow San Diegan who also comes from New Jersey, all about how you can take care of yourself to remain as vital as possible in your senior years. You know, folks, if you think about it, let's say you retire for whatever reason at age 60. If you really take good care of yourself and you've been kind of dealt the right cards health-wise, let's say you live till at least 90. That's one third, that's another third of your life. Think about the freedom you have in those years and the things you can do to take care of yourself and to live and to thrive. And that's what we talked about today on Guys Guys Radio. And I think the main takeaway is you have to make the right choices every day. You can't give up. You have to stay strong. You have to be passionate. And knowing that you can't necessarily do everything the way you did 30 years ago, there's still things you can do. There's still choices you can make to keep yourself fit, vital, and strong-minded and alert well throughout your senior years. So stay passionate, stay true, and stay well. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.